is one that's probably one of the simplest that I've ever done. There's nothing profound about it, except for maybe the fact that it is simple and it's true to what I've witnessed a lot of times in my life as a gospel preacher. And that is, we're going to talk about some things that tonight that sometimes are signals that we might be getting weaker in the service of the Lord. We do this not to be a negative lesson, but yet really to be a positive lesson, to try to do some preventative maintenance, that just some things that all of you can look for and know that these things are very serious and these things are very real. I might mention that I probably left out one or two things, and I would welcome you to mention those to me after the lesson so that I might could add them to the lesson. Sometimes tonight, for the sake of time, I might just reference a verse. Other times we'll turn and actually read the verse together. But I've got a good bit of ground to cover tonight, and I think it'll be a lesson that'll be helpful to us. What we're going to do tonight is just kind of take the platform of simply saying, if you are, and then I'll name something that you may be doing or not doing. If you are doing or not doing this or that thing, you might be getting weaker. First thing I want to point out is that the Bible does talk a lot about us taking personal responsibility for the state of our souls and for us staying on top of it all the time. I'd like to give you a few verses along those lines. The first one will be 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 and 6, where Paul says to the brethren in the church at Corinth, he says, examine yourselves. And I think that's just very simply put. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. And so Paul calls for the need for us to do a personal examination. We do that sometimes for our physical health. We'll go to the doctor and we'll have an exam. And we need to do that ourselves. We need to take some spiritual examination. One of the things you also need to know is that the Bible pretty well tells us that when people fall away from the Lord, they generally do not do that overnight. It is usually a situation where they are drifting. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the writer of Hebrews is really dealing with the whole theme of the book, and these people were in danger of falling away. And so he says in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Some versions say, lest at any time we let them slip. Either way, this is something that's kind of getting away from you. You may think about somebody who's fishing and they're fishing on a place where maybe there's a waterfall down the way or maybe the dam is nearby. And if they're not careful and they haven't anchored themselves, they can look and all of a sudden they realize, whoa, we've drifted into some territory we don't need to be in here. And it happened really before they knew it. We have to give attention lest we drift away. That's been the thing that has been my observation, is that sometimes people begin to just little by little drift away. And so you have to be aware of that. You have to say to yourself, am I drifting here? Am I where I used to be? Or have I moved in some way? And another passage that would show that this happens in phases is 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. Paul talking in the context of the Lord's Supper, how there were those who were not observing the Lord's Supper properly. But in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27, he says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now verse 30. For this reason, many are weak. And then he says, and sick among you, and many sleep, which is really a reference to death. So you see that he says some of you are weak, others of you have gotten past that and you're actually sick spiritually, and some of you have already died spiritually. And so there we see that it's a phase. It happens little by little. And let me just say to you that you have to watch about that, because the devil does not care. The devil does not care if he moves you in one big jump And most of the time, he knows he's not going to do that. He's not going to get you from being very strong one moment, and the next moment, you've just left the Lord. The devil doesn't care if it takes time to get you there. He'll take days, months, years. He doesn't care as long as he sees the slippage, as long as he sees that I'm getting them further and further and further away from God. That's all he cares about. And he will continually keep working at that, and we need to know that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the verse that all of us are familiar with, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Which also means that the devil is looking for just the right time and just the right bait. And he's good at knowing which of those is the case. He knows what bait to drop and he knows when to drop it. And he's looking for the person that he can pick off. And so you have to be on top of it and you have to watch these things in your life. So let's talk about a few of these things tonight. First of all, if you find yourself being tempted without having prayed about it, you might be getting weaker. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And so there Jesus is in advance praying not to be led into temptation, but to be delivered from the devil. When you feel yourself being tempted, you need to pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have a long context of verses 1 through 13 where he's talking about some things the Israelites did back there in the wilderness, and many of them deserted God and God had to give them up. He mentions a number of things, like beginning in verse 8, he says, "Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did." Verse 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted." Verse 10, "Don't murmur, as some of them murmured." And he, of course, is naming all of those dangers. Now verse 12, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And then in verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but with the temptation he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Old Flip Wilson used to say, "The devil made me do it." But no, the devil never makes you do anything. And with every temptation, God always will provide a way of escape. And we need to be praying for that. We need to be praying that always that God will lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one, help us to see the way out, because it will always be there. And so if you find yourself being tempted without having prayed about it, you might be getting weaker. This next one is so obvious, and I have witnessed it over and over and over again in my years as a gospel preacher. If you are missing worship services that you once attended, you might be getting weaker. You know, so always I say you might be getting weaker, but many of the cases it would be a case of you are getting weaker. But in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 23, the writer is still warning these brethren about falling away. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 23, he says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So he's encouraging you to hold on. Hold fast to that confession that you made. Remember when you became a Christian and hold fast to that fervor you had in the very beginning. And then he says that we need to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here's a place where we come to stir. And we want to help each other and encourage each other and ask each other, "How's your day been? How's your week going? What's going on? How are things?" One of my preacher friends used to say, "Are you behaving, partner?" And that's just his way of getting your attention. "You behaving, partner?" And every time he'd say that, you know, you'd kind of think about it. Am I behaving? We need to be encouraging each other. Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Bottom line is, when there is an assembly, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you're sitting at home and you say, you know, I'm a little tired, and I just really don't want to go. There ought to be an alarm that sounds heavier than every one of these sirens in Limestone County. When you begin to say to yourself, I just don't really want to go, it ought to go off like a huge alarm. Something's wrong here. And that's dangerous. And so you need to know that if you're missing worship services that you once attended and services that you still could attend, you might be getting weaker. A third one, if you get to the end of your day and you have not talked to God, you might be getting weaker. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're all familiar with, says simply, pray without ceasing. It's the idea of us keeping a constant language or keeping a constant conversation open with God. It's like riding down the road with your spouse and you're maybe on vacation or whatever, and you just kind of converse with one another. There may be times when you don't say anything for a while, but when you get ready to say something again, you just up and say it. And that's kind of the way you are with God. That's the way we ought to do throughout the day. Prayer is simply talking to God. It's like, God, give me strength to get this done. Or, God, I'm getting a little frustrated here. And this person here is really testing my patience, God. And whatever it may be, just talking to Him all day long about the things that you are dealing with. But if you get to the end of a day and you have not talked to God at all, you might be getting weaker. If you get to the end of the day and you have not sat and let God speak to you through His Word, you might be getting weaker. Turn to Psalm 119. If you get to the end of your day and you have not sat and let God speak to you through His Word, you might be getting weaker. When the Bible no longer pulls you to come to it, when there's no longer the thrill factor in opening the Word and seeing something that God has to say to you, you might be getting weaker. The Bible says in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Wow, what great verses those are. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. But now if you get to the end of the day and you have not let God speak to you through His Word, you might be getting weaker. If at the end of the day there have been no acts of service toward brethren or other people, you might be getting weaker. You remember Acts 20 and verse 35 where Paul said, I have been trying to show you here in everything that I have been doing and laboring with my hands that you must support the weak. And then he said in Acts 20 and verse 35, and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so if you get to the end of the day and you have done nothing in service to brethren, if you have done nothing in service to others, you might be getting weaker. I fully agree with something that a person said one time. He says, every day there needs to be three things that we do every day. Number one, we talk to God. Number two, we listen to God. And number three, we do things for God. Talk to God, listen to God, and do something for God. And there's a recipe right there for staying strong each and every day. But if you get to the end of the day and there's been no acts of service toward brethren or others, you might be getting weaker. Here's another. If you're gravitating toward those of worldly mindsets rather than Christians, you might be getting weaker. If you look back and you say, you know, we used to spend more time with Christians. We used to have Christians over at our home. We used to do this and that. But now most of your time is spent more with people who have a worldly mindset. you might be getting weaker. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, in verse 23, the young crowd, and of course this fits for us too, but the young person is warned here that when you know that there is a bunch of people over here and they're up to things that they ought not to be up to, and it's going to be tempting for you if you are with them, then don't go there. I used to think when I read this verse that this was talking about my mouth and my lips and my feet. But this context is not talking about that. It's talking about the mouths of others and the feet of others. Just look at what it says. Verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So in other words, you got to keep your heart. Everything comes out of your heart. Guard your heart. He then says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. That's not talking about your mouth. That's talking about somebody else's mouth. That's not good for you. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So really what he's saying is that I need to keep a focus straight ahead. Don't look there. Don't go there. There's temptation there. And just simply let your feet be established and walk where you need to walk. If you are gravitating toward those who have worldly mindsets rather than Christians, you might be getting weaker. You remember when Peter fell? The Bible says just before Peter fell that Peter sat among them. That was where he got weak, because he was in the crowd that was opposed to Jesus and wasn't living for Jesus, and they worked on him. Until finally they got him to succumb to even denying that he knew the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:33, you all know, which says, put away evil companionships because it corrupts good morals. So who are you spending time with? You say, oh, but, you know, but they're good people. But are they helping you on your journey toward heaven? If you're gravitating toward those of worldly mindsets rather than Christians, you might be getting weaker. And then here's another. If you have begun to be critical of your brothers and sisters in Christ, or you have begun to make comparisons with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you might be getting weaker. And what I mean is, just listen and see. Most of the time when you talk about folks at Oakland, are you speaking well of them, or do you find yourself kind of criticizing them? Or maybe, well, they just think they're better than us. Or, you know, they're just not very friendly. Or I don't think that people, I just don't think they like me. If you find yourself being critical of your brothers and sisters in Christ or making comparisons, you might be getting weaker. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. It shows us this, the kind of love that we're to have for our brothers and sisters is not one where we come and we sit and we fake it and we act like we like one another, but it's to be true and it's to be real. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Sincere heart, fervently loving my brothers and my sisters. And along the lines of making comparisons, this is where you might say, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I know I'm a whole lot better than brother so-and-so. Or I know I do better than sister so-and-so. When you start doing that, you might be getting weaker, because you have taken your focus off of who you're supposed to measure against. If you're going to measure yourself against anybody, put yourself up next to Christ and measure. There you go. That's where you measure, right there. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, we do not dare class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise to make comparisons among yourself. I'm not the standard. Nobody else in here is the standard. The standard is Jesus. And if you really want to make some progress, put yourself up next to Him and then compare. And you'll see, if you're like me, you'll see a whole lot of room for becoming more of what we need to be. Verse 18 of the same context says, "It is not he who commends himself who is approved, but it is whom the Lord commends." Here's another one. If you are looking for loopholes to do what you know you ought not to do, you might be getting weaker. Sometimes there'll be something in Scripture that's just very plain. Or maybe we've read in Hebrews chapter 5 where it simply says that the Bible was given so that we could discern between good and evil. So that we could make a good decision. Is this something that I should do or is this something I should not do? Is this something that's going to put me in a good light or is it something that's not going to put me in a good light? Is this going to be an appearance of evil or is it going to be clearly on the side of what's right? If you are about to do something that you know you ought not to do, you might be getting weaker. And then I want to say this one, and I hope it's completely understood. If solid core beliefs are questioned, you might be getting weaker. When you begin to question whether you have to be baptized to be saved, when you begin to question whether the whole world is accountable unto God, when you begin to question whether the Lord has one church or whether the Lord has many churches, when you question things that the Bible is clear about, when you begin to question core beliefs and you're gravitating away from core beliefs, you might be getting weaker. Turn to Galatians 1 and verse 6. The Bible says, as Paul talked to the church at Galatia, he told them, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." This is the idea of twisting the Scriptures. Why? Because you don't like what it says. You're going to twist it until you can get what you want out of it. "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." If solid core Bible teaching is being questioned, you might be getting weaker. I've seen situations where people would get up and who were going through stages like this. And when they preached, they were not preaching with periods. They were not preaching with exclamation points. They were preaching with question marks. And you'll get 30 or 40 minutes of nothing but just questions. Questions that were never answered. Questions that were never solidly defined by the Bible, just some questions thrown out there. And the Bible talks about those who do that kind of thing as those who are affecting unstable souls, have periods, have exclamation points. It's okay to have questions. But take your questions to the Bible and let the Bible answer the question. If you don't have the answer, don't get up here and ask the question. If you find yourself less able to speak out when it's needed, you might be getting weaker. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, back to the situation with Peter, here's a man who just can't muster say what ought to be said. And he is under intense pressure. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I just know that he's having a hard time saying what he ought to say in this moment. And so it says that they, verse 55, had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And then after about an hour passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And the Bible says, immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Can you imagine a man, before he even gets it out of his mouth, the rooster crows. There's the alarm. And he says he turns and he looks at Peter. Or he looks at Jesus, rather. And the Lord turns and looks at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And then Peter went out and wept bitterly. And he has a while as he watches or at least knows he's not there. He's tucked in a cranny somewhere. But as he knows about the crucifixion of Jesus, he's got a while to remember that I needed to speak out and I needed to say something, and I didn't say a thing. Was he strong or was he getting weaker? He was getting weaker. So if you find yourself less able to speak out when it's needed, you might be getting weaker. I've got about five or six more here. If public worship has become more a duty than a privilege, you might be getting weaker. Let me ask you, are you coming here because somebody's expecting you to be here? And you're really coming more for them than you are for the Lord? Are you here tonight because you really want to be here? Or are you here tonight because I just feel a sort of a sense of duty here. If it's nothing more than duty or to please somebody else here, then you might be getting weaker. Turn to Malachi chapter 1, the last book of the Old Testament. God's people had got to that point. They're offering things with broken legs as sacrifices. They got a lamb that's blind, they'll give that one. You know, that it'd be like a farmer who's got some cows and, you know, I got something wrong with this one and I got something wrong with that one, so I'll just give those to the Lord if you'd been in sacrificial days. See, it wouldn't cost you anything. I mean, you're not going to get anything in the market for it anyway, so I'll just give him the cheap one, the one that's not going to draw anything. In verse 8, he says, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord? In verse 10, he even calls for somebody to shut the doors. Just go home. And then verse 13 is the verse I really want you to see. They had gotten to the point when they said, you also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it. And you say to the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen and the lame and the sick. Thus you bring an offering, all right. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? When you get to the point and you just say, you know, I just don't want to go. I don't want to go to church tonight. I don't want to go to the young people's study tonight. I don't want to. I know they're having a get-together and we've all been invited to come and be together and encourage each other. I just don't want to do that. Oh, what a weariness. You might be getting weaker. Again, these are just things that I witness from time to time. And I've seen, and I'm not pulling these out of a hat. These are real things that have been factors in people falling away from the Lord. If the Lord's Supper has become routine rather than a renewal, you might be getting weaker. You remember 1 Corinthians 11 we read earlier? Because they weren't observing it properly and they weren't focused and they weren't reverent and they weren't in tune and they didn't see it as an opportunity to renew their covenant with the Lord and be recommitted once again to their commitment to the Lord. For this reason, many are weak and sick and some are already dead. If the Lord's Supper has become routine rather than a renewal, you might be getting weaker. If your daily life has more thorns than fruit, you might be getting weaker. I won't say much about that one tonight because I've hammered it in the last several lessons. But if we're just wrapped up with the things of this world, and as a result, I'm not seeing a lot that I am producing in the kingdom of God. I'm not seeing a lot of, you know, if God looked at me, He would not think of me as a person who's really helping a lot in the kingdom. Then I may be getting weaker. thorns rather than fruit. If you are compromising your integrity, compromising your honesty, and you are fudging on the truth, you might be getting weaker. I believe that every one of us need to take seriously those moments when we feel like, well, you know, I know that's not completely honest, but it's just a little white lie. I'm just fudging on the truth a little. That's dangerous. Not only is it wrong, it's just dangerous because it'll take you places you don't want to go. Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter in the Sermon on the Mount, that we need to be people who just basically are people that if we say yes, that means yes. If we say no, that means no. And he said, whatever is from more than that is from the evil one. If we have to, if we have to throw some kind of other something on top of our yes, I'm not saying that, you know, in a courtroom, you know, they may ask for that. And of course, I could talk about whether that's right or wrong from the Bible. But I'm just saying, if you have to swear so that the person that you're talking to would be convinced that you're going to tell the truth, something's wrong. I think Darren would say that if Jeff May has to swear to me to get me to believe something that he's telling me, then it means I already knew there was something in Jeff May's character that's not right. We ought to be people who just are people of integrity, honesty, and not fudging on things that are not true. Three more. If you are flirting on the job, rather than sending strong signals of your fidelity to your spouse, you might be getting weaker. In Proverbs 7 and verse 6, it speaks of the young man here, and it says in Proverbs 7 and verse 6, at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. Passing along the street near her corner, he took the path to her house. And flirting is a path that leads to a house. I can almost assure you that anybody that ended up in bed with somebody they didn't need to be in bed with got there because they flirted to start with. They flirted their way. And may not have ever intended to end up there. But that's where that thing ended up. If you're flirting on the job, rather than sending strong signals of your fidelity, you might be getting weaker. Anything that you can put out there that lets them know, I am a happily married man. I am a happily married woman. It's important. I almost didn't put this one in the lesson tonight because I don't want to be misunderstood. And it's going to seem strange. And I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But this one is one that I have witnessed on more than one occasion. If you have been a person who has been spiritual in your focus, but all of a sudden, you're on a major diet and you've lost major weight, you are now going to the gym and your body is getting toned and buffed, and you are now beginning to post pictures of yourself so that people can see how your body is coming along. So don't think now if all of a sudden I go on a diet and I lose 25 pounds and you hear I'm going to the gym too that I'm about to leave Susan or something. But I will tell you this, there have been times when I have seen a total shift away from the spiritual, and everything now is all about me and how I look. And there's been times when I've said, I just hope that there's not another man in the picture. And in many cases, there was. There was. I do know that 1 Peter 3 says that our focus has to always remain on the spiritual. 1 Peter 3 and verse 3, "Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a genuine quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Now those situations, those scenarios that I mentioned to you, they are not Oakland situations. I do not have an Oakland situation in mind. I just know that I have seen Christians before begin to make a shift. And it's all about how I look and how I appear. And the next thing you know, there's some kind of spiritual trouble that is on the horizon. The last one I have tonight is that if you see old sinful habits returning, you might be getting weaker. In other words, if you find yourself starting to do again the very things that you decided to put behind you when you became a Christian, you might be getting weaker. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20 uses very graphic language. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, it says, "If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." Now that's talking about a person who goes back to what he left. And you're going to see that in the context. Here is what I just got rid of, but now I'm going to go back to it. And you're entangled in it, and it says the end is going to be worse than the beginning. And in verse 21 says, "It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." I will say this. Wouldn't it be horrible to leave the Lord, die, and end up in torment? And you've got all eternity to think about what you knew, what you had joined, who you had joined yourself to, all the things about Jesus that you had learned. And he said, it would be better for you not to have ever known it than to know it and turn from it. I'm not sure I know all that means, but I just know the torment's bad when you know you're there and you didn't have to be. And I was once somewhere else. And then the verse says in verse 22, "But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit." You ever seen it? Somebody said, really, you paraphrase that. He goes back and eats what made him sick. "And a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire." Those are just some things I've seen along the way. They're all serious. They all can be indicators. Indicators that we need to pay attention to. And I'll just quickly say as we finish tonight, what do you do? Well, you confess it to God. You flee to Him for His wonderful grace. You perhaps confide in a trusted brother or sister. You confess your trespasses one to another and you ask a brother or sister to pray for you. Let them know you're having a hard time. Ask God to renew your passions. David, after he had committed adultery and came back to God, he said to God, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And then I'll lead others to you." What, here's a man who realized, I got so far away from God, and what I need now is I need the joy of being a child of God to be restored in my life. Force your new habits into place. Get back to your Bible reading. Get back to your praying. Get back to working. Force your new habits into place and fill up with Christ. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Fill up with Christ. There's your lesson tonight. Thank you for listening so well. And again, I want to encourage you that if you've got another point that you've witnessed or seen or experienced, I'd love to hear that. And so that might be of help to us all. If you're here tonight and you need to be right with God, or maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation, then let it be known. We'll pray for you. You pray for me. I pray for you. That we all ought to be. If you need to respond in any way tonight, come while we stand and as we sing.